This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Trains and hammers and drills. Oh, my.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Welcome to the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as trading gets underway for the day. Warren Buffett is part wizard, and he says his freight rail deal is an economic yellow brick road. The tools for prosperity could mean a tornado of job cuts. And forget the high price of an art auction. The economic doldrums have toned things down.
For the most part, the works in our sale are under $6 million.
All that coming up. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P down about 0.5%. Same for the NASDAQ, down about 0.6%. The Dow off about 40 points at 97.50. European shares lower today, 1.5% or more. And Asian markets closed mostly lower as well, except for Chinese shares, which were up about 1% or more. A couple of big merger deals to tell you about this morning. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is buying freight rail giant Burlington Northern. Julie Neiman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live this morning from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So this is a $40-plus billion cash and stock deal. Buffett's never done a deal like this before. Why the change in strategy?
Probably the biggest reason is he can acquire it at a very reasonable price. It's a good fit for it, and he's so confident in it that he's acquiring the whole thing for basically kind of a stock swap here. He usually pays only cash exclusively.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman's also been following the story. He joins us live as well. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning.
So this morning, Mr. Buffett called this deal an all-in wager on the economic future of the U.S., but there's more behind this than just this future economic growth, right?
Right. Warren Buffett's pretty outspoken, and in this case, he's made it clear that this investment is also about energy-saving transport. You know, rail is by far the most fuel-efficient way to move goods, at least if you don't need to get them there overnight. Buffett said in an interview this morning with CNBC that railroads produce less air pollution than other modes. They reduce highway congestion by taking trucks off the road. Here's how Mark Zandi of Moody'sEconomy.com assesses Buffett's move this morning.
The other bet he's making here is that the cost of energy will continue to rise, and that's probably a good bet. I mean, at the bottom line, though, here is never bet against the U.S. economy for very long because you'll lose.
You know, and as Buffett said this morning, he's all in.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The other deal from our mergers and acquisitions department, Stanley is buying Black & Decker in a stock deal valued at $4.5 billion. Julie Neiman is still on the line with us. Julie, you view the marriage of the toolmakers more as a merger. Why is that?
This is a merger, not an acquisition, unlike Berkshire, because you have two equals coming together here. It's an all-stock deal. Each one was roughly going to own half, and you're combining the boards. It's always a friendly deal, and you're trading your old stock in for the new company. Berkshire is just swallowing Buffington Northern Railroad lock, stock, and barrel. That's an acquisition.
And they're giving Stanley front billing on this, right?
Well, they are, but basically Stanley is going to be slightly ahead with 0.5% more in the deal than the Black & Decker people.
All right, Julie Neiman from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
Johnson & Johnson is cutting up to 7,000 jobs in a restructuring, mainly from management. The move will result in a fourth-quarter charge of as much as $1.3 billion. Earnings this morning, Archer Daniels Midland says its first quarter profit fell by more than half. It blames the global recession for dragging down demand for crops and ethanol. And Viacom says its third quarter profit jumped a better than expected 15%. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2009 at marketplace.org. The British government is again pumping tens of billions of dollars in two of the UK's biggest banks. In return, the banks are being forced to sell off some of their assets. More from Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard in London.
In the first case, the Royal Bank of Scotland is getting another $41 billion of taxpayers' cash, bringing the total to $75 billion, the biggest bank bailout anywhere in the world. At the same time, Lloyds, another troubled lender, is also getting extra money. Finance Minister Paul Miner says this will strengthen the bank's capital and help them get back on their feet and eventually repay the cash. In return, the banks will sell off some of their businesses.
What we're getting is a stronger banking system, less risk for the taxpayer. But most importantly, this is part of a step to bring increased competition back into the UK high street banking market.
As a result of all the state aid, the two banks have been required to sell off a total of almost 1,000 branches. The government hopes this will lead to the formation of three new banks and a better deal for borrowers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's election day across the country today, and voters have a number of ballot initiatives to decide. You'd think cash-strapped states would use the opportunity to get new borrowing approved, but that's not necessarily the case, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Voters in just three states will be casting ballots on bond measures which allow states to borrow money. Jenny Drage Bowser analyzes elections for the National Conference of State Legislatures. She says states are only asking for about $670 million this year.
This is the second smallest total amount of bonding ever to appear on the ballot.
Drage Bowser says states are hesitant to take on more debt right now, and some are getting federal stimulus money for construction projects.
A lot of times, bond measures are targeted at those infrastructure projects, and that is where the federal stimulus money is having a big impact this year.
Ohio voters aren't being asked to approve borrowing. They're voting on casino gambling. William Thompson teaches public administration at the University of Nevada. He says gambling supporters are using this line.
The state needs tax money, and if they don't do this, they'll tax people in other ways.
Ohio voters have rejected casino gambling four times since 1990. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In the Wall Street Journal this morning, a survey shows executive pensions rose by an average of nearly 20% back in 2008. The journal says some top execs saw retirement plan increases of more than 50%. Meantime, securities regulators are stepping up their scrutiny of retirement investments. The head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Mary Shapiro, says the financial cops on the beat will focus on new retirement products designed to extract high fees. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
In a recent speech, SEC Chairman Shapiro said she's created a new division to review financial innovation.
We must be on the lookout for newly emerging risks. Some of those will almost certainly come in the form of new products, particularly those related to retirement investing.
Shapiro says she'll start with target date funds. Those are 401k-type pensions designed to gradually transfer money from the stock market into safer investments as a worker gets closer to retirement. Alicia Munell at the Center for Retirement Research says investors have a hard time finding out what they're being charged to move their money.
People have to understand what they're paying for, how much they're paying to have a target date fund move their portfolio from equities to bonds. When they see that, maybe they might think, well, I could do that myself.
The SEC is expected to propose better disclosure of fees early next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Countries around the world are looking for clean energy sources. In India, there's not enough power to go around, clean or otherwise. So it's trying to get natural gas shipped in from Iran. But there's a big obstacle, as Raymond Thibodeau reports.
India's energy needs are growing faster than its population. Natural gas is cheap right now, and Iran has plenty of it that it wants to sell. So a 1,700-mile gas pipeline is being proposed. It would run down from Iran through Pakistan and into India, linking cities like Islamabad and Karachi to Mumbai and New Delhi. With so many winners, analysts say regional goodwill would also flow from the pipeline.
It was thought of as a peace line.
Lydia Powell is an energy market expert with the Observer Research Foundation. She was talking to me in a dark conference room during one of Delhi's many power outages. Blackouts are a fact of life in India and Pakistan. Yet the two neighbors can't come to an agreement over the pipeline.
There is a very good economic case. Both countries will benefit. Pakistan, in fact, needs the gas much more than India.
Not only would Pakistan have access to the natural gas, it'll also collect about $100 million a year from India in right-of-way fees. Still, many analysts say the plan looks better on paper than it does on the ground. AJ Sani is director for Delhi's Institute for Conflict Management. He says India and Pakistan have a large, complex relationship that includes politics, economics, and war, and the pipeline is a tiny part of that.
It is not so pivotal to either country that they would redefine their strategic relationships one with the other simply to realize this pipeline.
Decades of animosity between the two nuclear-armed neighbors intensified after last year's terror attack in Mumbai. India is convinced that the militants in that attack were trained in Pakistan. Sani says the same militants could sabotage the pipeline as a political weapon against India.
The pipeline would, in fact, make India subject to constant Pakistani blackmail.
India is also concerned about the high fees Pakistan's charging for the pipeline's right-of-way. Pakistan says that $100 million price tag is mostly to provide security in dangerous areas along the pipeline's route. Still, the two neighbors are hopeful that they can work out a deal to get the Iranian natural gas. But some analysts say the pipeline is starting to look more and more like a pipe dream. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
In New York later, art auction season gets underway. There is a big sale at Christie's tonight, and Sotheby's and Phillips will follow. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports there are signs the bidding business isn't the thing of economic beauty it once was.
These are the kinds of pictures that move the center of the art world from Paris to New York.
Robert Manley is head of the post-war and contemporary art department at Christie's. He says tonight's auction features some big-ticket pieces by Matisse, Degas, and Picasso, but it's mainly filled with less expensive works. Christie's expects the sale to bring in just $68 million, compared with more than $200 million in previous years.
You're not seeing the paintings that are $15, $20, $30, $50 million. For the most part, the works in our sale are under $6 million.
Another thing largely absent this year is a guarantee. That is, the auction house guarantees the seller a minimum amount of money for a blockbuster item. Marion Maniker, who runs the Art Market Monitor, says don't expect a return to those days anytime soon.
They've gone through a lot of pain and cost-cutting over the last year. I think the last thing they want to do is rush headlong into another arms race over guarantees.
But Maniker and Manley both say the art market has found a bottom. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, marketing popular TV product with popular alt-rock band can make for some strange bed or couch fellows. Rockers Weezer are selling their new CD starting today with the Snuggie, those cuddly fleece blankets with the arms, complete with Weezer logo on the front.
Available in royal blue, sage green, and burgundy. As an added bonus, you'll also receive Ratitude, the brand new CD from Weezer.
No word on when Lady Gaga teams up with ShamWow or when the Stones reintroduce us to the Medic Alert bracelet. Hey, check us out online. We're podcasting at marketplace.org, plus our online host and blogger Scott Jagow is there, and you can share your thoughts with him. Marketplace.org. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.